expected events in Moreland show. Moreland, more sports. We got week 10 predictions coming up with Carwin Towns. How you doing, Carwin?
I'm doing good. It's a lovely night. Just ready to kick this podcast off as usual.
Yep. So once again, we missed the Thursday night game, but I had the Tennessee Titans winning, and they did not. They lost 34-17. Who did you have winning that game, Carwin?
I also had the Titans winning that game, and I thought they were gonna win about 26-20.
Yeah, I had the Titans winning 30-24.
Yeah, so definitely didn't expect this. I guess the Colts are better than we give them credit for, huh?
Yeah, the way they played against Baltimore last week, it looked like they had like no life on offense, but maybe that's just how good that Ravens defense is.
Yeah, the Ravens are always, for the last, I want to say at least like the last 4 or 5 years, their defense has like been on a streak. Because I remember there was that one year where the Ravens defense was like really bad. Like I guess for their secondary, like people were always scoring points on them.
But yeah.
That was the last year I remember them being bad. And since then, they've been on a pretty good roll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, you were telling me about Michael Pittman, man. He played well, didn't he? 7 catches, yeah. 101 yards.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I had high hopes for him coming into the league because I saw he had a little YouTube channel where he was documenting his NFL journey. So, like, when somebody does that, that's how you know, like, they're for real. Like, they mean business, so... When I saw that he started documenting his journey on a YouTube channel, then I knew like it's got to be a sign of things to come. He's got to be good, you know, because if he wasn't, I don't think he'd have as many views as he was getting on his YouTube channel. And Rivers was kind of talking him up too throughout the training camp. So I ended up drafting him in a lot of fantasy leagues, but then. Yeah, after about like 3 or 4 weeks in, he got hurt and got put on IR, and he just made his second appearance since coming off of IR for that game.
Yeah, he played against the Ravens last week. He didn't do a whole lot, but he did a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, he definitely, he's seems to me like he's going to end up emerging as the number one above T.Y.
Yeah, he looks like it. Dude, Nyheim Hines, he might be the number one running back on that team soon.
Yeah. First it went from Mac to Jonathan to Wilkins to Hines.
Yeah. So. Dude, Jonathan Taylor had 7 carries for 12 yards last night.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's not his year. Maybe next year.
Maybe.
Everybody's pretty excited for him coming into the year when Mac got hurt. And he started off pretty well. He had over 100 yards rushing his first game, taking over for Mac. And then I don't know what's been going on since then. Maybe he hasn't been getting as many touches as he needs to get high. Who knows?
Yeah. But again, Colts 6-3, Titans 6-3. They are now tied for the AFC South lead. So we'll go through the games now. You have the Browns and the Texans. I don't know why the Browns have a 62% chance of winning this game. I think Houston has a good chance of winning this game. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. Mayfield hasn't shown enough to me for me to bet on him.
Yeah, between the two quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson's better. Running backs, you know, Cleveland has the advantage. Receivers... Houston might have the advantage now since Beckham's out. You know, I would take Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks before I'll take Jarvis Landry and Rashard Higgins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then the Browns got the better tight ends.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Browns are favored to win. 3.5 is the spread. Over-under is 46. Definitely take the over on this one. I could see these two teams breaking over in the first half, maybe first three quarters. But David Johnson's not going to play for the Texans. That's like their big injury. So Duke Johnson's going to have to pick up the slack in the running game, and he'll probably the pass catching game too, because that's what he's primarily known for. Hey, isn't it fitting that Duke Johnson's first start of the year is going to be against his former team?
Oh yeah, it is. That's right.
Right.
Man, it must be a sign. Maybe he's going to break out. Prove him wrong.
I think he will. If Duke Johnson's available in your fantasy leagues, pick him up.
Yeah.
Please pick him up.
Yeah.
I have the Texans winning this game actually, and I think they'll win this game 30 to. You know what? I don't think Cleveland's going to do all that well. I don't know.
Neither.
I don't know. Chubb might play well though, but it'll be his first game back. But give me Houston 30 to 20. No, 30 to 24.
Okay. I don't know. Like, it definitely has the potential to, like, be a blow-up kind of game, but I just didn't really like what I saw from the Browns at all last week. I know, granted, they were playing in bad weather conditions, but you also got to consider that they lost Odell. There was a lot of hype surrounding that, saying, oh, maybe he's going to play better without him. And it didn't look like that last week. So I'm still skeptical on how they're going to continue to adapt without him, because Jarvis has openly said that he's been playing hurt, so you can't rely on him. And you're going to have to spread the ball around, give some to Higgins, utilize his talented tight end group. He's probably got the best tight end group in the league. I mean, they could all start on a bunch of teams. I mean, Njoku, Hooper, even that rookie Harrison Bryant showed flashes. So, I mean, the Texans, they got a horrendous defense. So, Mayfield, you're going to have to show the people something at least against the Texans, because we already know Watson's going to probably at least get, you know, maybe like 280 yards passing, like 40 yards rushing, and then he's going to throw for two and run for one at least. So, you know Watson's going to come to play and be consistent for the most part. So I got the Texans winning this 31-21.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles are playing against the New York Giants. Eagles are 3-4-1. Giants are 2-7. Imagine being 2-7 and you got a chance at winning your division. It's right. Crazy. Philadelphia is only favored to win by 4. Over-under is 44.5. I'd probably take the over on that one. You know, it looks like Carson Wentz is getting his weapons back. Miles Sanders is coming back. I think Alshon Jeffrey's coming back. DeSean Jackson coming back?
No.
He's on IR.
Once a year.
Okay.
At least for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah. And then Jalen Reagor came back last week. So, you know, Carson's going to have a few of his weapons back.
Oh, wait, my bad. Did you say DeSean or Alshon?
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, for the rest of it.
Right? Yeah, but I think Alshon Jeffrey's coming back, though.
Yeah, he is. That's why I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, and then they're going to have Travis Fulgham on top of that. So Philadelphia's starting to get healthy on offense besides DeSean Jackson. But, I mean, it's expected.
Oh, Miles Sanders, too.
Yeah, I said Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, Alshon and Reagor with Fulgham. And then I don't think Zach Ertz is coming back just yet. But Dallas Goedert isn't a bad replacement for him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sure if Golden Tate's going to play for the Giants. And then you already know Barkley's not playing. I think Devontae Freeman's coming back, but I don't think
they put him on IR today.
Who?
Devontae Freeman.
Oh, they put him on IR?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. When I was scrolling the waiver wire, I saw it.
Gotcha. That might give me some ideas.
I picked up Gallman already. Don't even think about it.
You have got to be kidding me.
My fan fits it.
Dude, you picked up Giovanni Bernard last night. You just picked up Gallman?
Yeah.
You're not even going to use them.
Well, I mean, Ingram got listed healthy, so maybe he's going to end up playing, and then I can't start Dobbins. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah, whatever. That's crazy.
We'll talk about it after the podcast.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
You know?
Anyway, I got the Eagles winning this game. I got them 24-21.
See, man, I just have a hard time betting on these NFC East teams because they're so
bad. Anything can happen.
Yeah, it can. I would just rather not predict them to be like in the 50s for over under or like high 40s. Like, I kind of always want to project them to score like under 25 points. Not total, but like neither one of them getting more than that. Because I see whenever they play, I just always like project a bunch of field goals and maybe no more than like two touchdowns. So, but since the Eagles are getting back healthier, I'll give them three touchdowns this time with Miles Sanders and Alshon back in the lineup. And Daniel Jones seemed like he had one of his better games last week. That's not saying much, but did seem a little bit better. And maybe he can carry that momentum into this week. Even though he won't be without Golden, they didn't care. Obviously, didn't care about that last week since they just wanted to bench him for rightfully, you know, complaining about his target share. So they were okay doing that, and they'll be okay without him again this week. So I think it's going to be, I say 21-11 Eagles.
You think the Giants will only score 11 points?
Yeah, that yo, Daniel Jones, like, it's factual. He's a turnover machine. He's definitely going to turn that ball. And the Eagles, they got an aggressive pass rush. I can see that defense causing problems for the Giants to score on offense, for real.
Gotcha. All right, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah. All right, your Washington football team's playing against those Detroit Lions. I know you're not excited.
Oh, no, I mean, nah, I'm not discouraged at all about that matchup. The Lions, they ain't nothing special. They lost Galladay. Stafford went to the lineup and played like trash. Mm-hmm.
I don't see a spread or a money line or an over-under for Detroit and Washington.
Yeah, I don't either.
I guess Detroit, I guess they're not involved with that gambling stuff. That's because last week when they played against Minnesota, they didn't have like an over-under or spread either.
Yeah. Wait, no, but they do, because remember you did their thing when they played the Giants.
Did I?
Yeah, remember when McLaurin scored that touchdown?
Giants?
Yeah, that was against the Giants.
No, I'm talking about the Lions, bro, not the Redskins.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But, yeah, I mean, the Lions, they started to seem like they were coming on when Galladay came back. And
he's not playing again.
Yeah, so Galladay's not playing again. Your other group of receivers, they can play, but they lack consistency and clutch ability. I mean, you probably got Hockenson is your most reliable option now. I mean, you got like the other receivers are kind of one-dimensional. Hall's at speed. Like, you need to get him a bomb. And then Jones Jr., he seems like he's lost a step. So you're going to have to give him like a quick short pass and hope that he can make the most of that, because it doesn't seem like he's going to get too much separation down the field. So Stafford is he's not really given that much to work with. And on top of that, he still has an up-and-coming run game. Defense isn't doing him any favors, whereas the football team, I think they have a better defense all around than the Lions do. And Alex Smith, even though he you know, turned the ball over three times, he threw for over 300 yards, which I didn't think I would see. So,
yeah, me either. Yeah. I was surprised.
Yeah, so that was kind of encouraging to see from him, and I think he can he can definitely do some things against that Lions defense. I think him and McKissick are going to have a special connection since McKissick played for the Lions last year. So I got the football team winning this one 20-14.
I got the Detroit Lions winning this one 20-19.
Close one, though. Respect.
Yeah, 20-19.
Respectfully. Close.
All right. Oh, God. Jacksonville is playing Green Bay. ESPN matchup predictor. Football Power Index only giving the Jaguars a 9% chance to win that game. The spread's 13.5. You need the Packers to win by 14 if you're not betting the money line. Over-under is 49. I feel like that's a little too high. I feel like Green Bay could get like 30, but like Jacksonville can only get like 10 or 13.
Well, I mean, Green Bay's defense isn't that good, though. So I can see Green Bay jumping out to a huge lead and then Jacksonville playing catch-up and scoring.
Yeah. Well, Chenault's not going to play. Laviska Chenault for the Jaguars.
Anyways.
You said what?
Said they weren't even throwing it to him anyways.
Yeah. Jair Alexander, star cornerback for the Packers, is doubtful.
See? So, I think they can go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, that might help. That might help out Jacksonville a little bit. Jake Luton, he did all right his first game.
Yeah, he did. I have never really heard anything about this kid, so I didn't expect him to go into the game and play that well. But like I said on the last podcast, if he does do well, like, I wouldn't look that much into it because it was the Texans defense, and they're horrendous, just like I said, and he took advantage of that. So he did what he should have did, so which is good. And the Green Bay, not as quite as bad as the Texans defense, but, I mean, they're not that good. They still let Mullins, even though they didn't put up that many points, they got yards on them. They moved it down the field. I mean, Richie had 180-something yards and a touchdown. So, and then we think it's going to happen without Jair this time. So, I think Green Bay can jump out to a pretty big lead. I can see them putting up 35-plus. Rodgers just red hot right now. He's in the MVP race. And I don't see Jacksonville's defense stopping him. So I've got Green Bay winning this 37-19.
All right. I got 35-17 Packers.
Dang. We both predicted a slaughter.
Yeah. Tampa Bay's playing Carolina. If Christian McCaffrey was playing, I'd probably lean towards Carolina. I just feel like they're a much different team when he plays. And they impressed me against the Chiefs last week. Tampa Bay's 5.5-point favorite. I've seen that before. With an over-under 50.5. I feel like they can go over for sure. But I think Tampa Bay is a little bit more talented than the – not even a little bit more, a lot more talented. And they're going to be pissed off that they got punched in the mouth by the Saints last week. They're going to take it out on the Panthers. I got the Buccaneers winning this game. I'm going to say 30-20.
Yeah, McCaffrey is going to be out this week. That'll definitely take a hit because he seemed like he was a big key part in their offense last week. And keeping that game close against the Chiefs. So they're definitely going to be missing him. And Tampa, they're going to be looking to redeem themselves from that garbage that they put on display last week. There's been a lot of talk in the town of Tampa about Tom Brady getting criticized, and I'm sure he's pretty fired up. He's not liking that. He's always looking to prove the doubters wrong because of his age. They have too much offensive firepower with Mike Godwin, Antonio Brown now. I mean, every receiver in their starting lineup, Vincent, could be a wide receiver one for most teams. That's saying something. They have plenty of offensive firepower, not to mention a touchdown machine and Gronk, who was catching a touchdown in the last game. He had a touchdown, I think, either 3 or 4 straight games. So he can still play. So Tampa should win this game. But like we've always said about the Panthers, they'd be winning games that they shouldn't. So
they almost won against Kansas City last week.
No, so it wouldn't surprise me if they go toe-to-toe with this Tampa team. So
me either.
Because Bridgewater, he's been pretty accurate for the Panthers so far this week. I mean, not this week, this season. So I think he can move the ball down the field pretty well. I know Tampa has a good defense, but obviously, as you saw against the Saints, they have their holes, they have their weaknesses, and they can be exploited. So I got Tampa winning this. I'll say 28-23.
All right. The Los Angeles Chargers are playing against the Miami Dolphins. I am really intrigued for this matchup. I hope this game's available. I don't know. I like that game. I like Buffalo and Arizona. Those games are going to be fun. Miami's a 1.5-point favorite. Over-under is 48. I thought the spread for Miami would be a little bit higher. I expect like a 3.5. But their win is a 4 in a row. They beat Arizona. They beat the Jets. They beat they shut out the Jets. They beat the Rams. And they beat the brakes off the 49ers. You know, they've been scoring the ball. They've been playing really well. Chargers have lost 4 out of 5. They've lost by 7, they've lost by 3, they lost by 1, they lost by 5. And their only win out of the last 5 games was against Jacksonville. They've been in every game this year that they've lost in. Every single one of them.
And it's got to suck. Matter of fact, I would argue that sucks even worse than getting blown out.
Yeah, I'd rather get blown out than to lose so many one possession games.
Yeah, cuz it's like right there in your grasp. That's like, because it's like you're giving your, it's like you keep giving yourself hope, but then you just smack it out of your hand and it shatters, whereas you're blown out, you don't have any expectations. Like, you just already know, like, okay, this is over, you know.
Yeah, if you're a Jets fan, you know your team sucks.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa is not going to play. Justin Jackson's not going to play. Tremaine Pope is questionable. So if Tremaine Pope doesn't play, get Kalen Ballage in your fantasy lineups. Well, I don't know. Maybe don't get him.
I don't know how I dropped him.
I don't know how Miami's run defense has been this year, but yeah,
they've been scoring though.
Yeah.
Run defense. I mean, that defense.
I wish Miles Gaskin was playing. Matt Breida, he's questionable.
Mm.
But I love this Miami team. Earlier this year, I said Miami has something going for them, and they do. I didn't think it would be this early though, but I got Miami winning this game. I got them winning 34-30 against the Chargers.
Sounds like the score from last week almost.
I would take the over under is 48.
Yeah.
You need both of these teams to score 24 points. I can see that happening.
Yeah, I can see it too. If they didn't, it would just come down to like Miami's strong defense. So hopefully Herbert can get through that defense and score.
He can.
Yeah.
He can. And look, it's Tagovailoa versus Justin Herbert. It's the 4th pick versus the 5th pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be fun to watch as well.
Right. So I really gotta give credit where credit's due for Miami. They've made a big leap in their growth this season. I mean, you look at last year, talking about maybe the worst football team we've ever seen in the first half. Now the Jets look like how they look last year in the first half of the season. But even Miami had a win by now, I think. And it just really speaks volumes to that the coach and the management, because they really knew what they were doing, because they just kept trading away like all the good players, it seemed like. But in the long run, it really ended up working out for them, huh, Vincent?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they've I gotta give them credit. They've built a really good football team. They're well coached. And I didn't think I would see them like get this close to the being at the top in their division with the Bills. So we have two young, very promising, talented rookie quarterbacks. I think they're both going to be playing against each other with something to prove. Herbert's having an impressive rookie season. Tua didn't have the best debut, but he followed it up with a better performance. So I'm sure he's looking to carry that momentum into this week and end up putting on a good display and a good show for NFL fans everywhere that's anticipating this matchup. And even though Miami lost Preston Williams, they do still have Devontae Parker. They got Grant. who's really quick. They still got Gesicki. So I think Tua can definitely do some damage with those weapons. And Herbert, he's they're all so well coached by Anthony Lynn. They just need to learn how to close games. A lot of the games that they lost, they also had a lead in it too. So they just got to be better in crunch time and taking care of the football and not turning it over when it really matters. And that's going to be hard against the number one scoring defense in the NFL, that is Miami. So you don't want to do that against this team. So they're going to have to be smart with the football this game. And the Chargers, they deserve a win by now. They deserve this win. I'm going to give it to the Chargers. I say the Chargers win 31-28.
All right. This is gonna be one of three CBS games this weekend. This weekend, as the Masters is this weekend, so all the 1 o'clock games will be on Fox, Carwin. Yeah. So in Baltimore, the game that they're going to show at 4 o'clock on CBS is the Bills and the Cardinals game.
Okay. Yeah, because the Ravens don't play until Sunday night, so we'll get something other than the Ravens at 1 o'clock.
Yep. All right. So now we're going to go to the Denver and Las Vegas Raiders game. Raiders, 60% chance to win. Raiders, -4. Over-under is 50.5. I'm surprised this game over-under is 50.5, but Miami's wasn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird. Drew Locke the last couple games, it's like he's a ghost in the first three quarters, and then like in the fourth quarter, he just decides to show up. When sometimes it's too little, too late. And you know, against the Chargers, they barely won on the last play, and then they lost in that game against Atlanta last week. But I think the Vegas Raiders will win this game. Once again, Broncos are kind of banged up. Bryce Callahan's questionable. For the Raiders, Gabe Jackson, offensive guard, is questionable. Colton Miller, doubtful. Maurice Hurst is out. But I still think the Raiders will win this game. They've won 3 out of 4. Or 3 out of 5. So the Broncos. They beat the Chargers, they beat the Jets and Patriots, but they lost to some pretty good offensive teams in Atlanta and Kansas City. And I think the Raiders are another challenging offensive team that Denver will have to face. So I think the Raiders will pull this one out. I give them 33-27.
The Broncos are looking like at the Cowboys. We're looking with Dak non-existent in the first half, and then all of a sudden catching fire in the second half. That's what Drew Locke has been doing recently, and it's not a good habit to get into. So hopefully they can kick that bad habit and play against a really sneaky team in the Raiders, who've been better this year than I expected them to be. So you don't want to underestimate them too much, because we've seen them be some good teams. So I think the Raiders, I think they're more expected to win, but I'm going to give it to the Broncos just because I think the Broncos have like more to work with on offense. Like, they got Judy, and they have Fant. They got Hamilton. They got that speedster out of Penn State. With the Raiders, you don't really know who's gonna establish themselves week to week. 1 week it might be Aguilar. Sometimes, more times than not, you'd expect it to be Waller, but he even has his down days. So, and then Ruggs, he's been pretty inconsistent, other than when he gets that one splash play sometimes. So I think the Broncos.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs hasn't done much recently.
Yeah, so I think the Broncos offensive corps on like receiver wise can get something happening better than the Raiders could. But the Raiders on the offhand have a better run game than the Broncos do, I would say. So it's just gonna come down to being able not to not to stall, get to a fast head start for the Broncos. And I think that they can get that going this week. I got I'll take the Broncos 26-23.
All right. The Buffalo Bills are playing the Arizona Cardinals. I cannot wait to watch this game. Like, I think I'm going to have that game on instead of the Steelers-Bengals game.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't blame you for that.
Cardinals are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm kind of shocked by that. I thought Buffalo would be the favorite for this game. Yeah. Especially after their display against Seattle. Yeah,
they'll probably be a good non-favorite team to pick if you're doing a straight bet.
Yeah. Over under 40, 56 and a half. What do you think about that, Carlin? I think they can go over.
It can. That's just so high. Like, you would want both teams to
get like 30.
Yeah. You want both teams to be 30, but like at the end of the first half, you would want them to both be
have 21. Yeah,
you want them both to be like really close, if not in the 20s. So, but I mean, they both have the firepower to do it. I mean, they both are really well balanced on offense. They both, Josh Allen was more so regarded as MVP candidate than Kyler, but with Kyler's dual threat ability, I think he's hard to stop. I think I don't really see a game this year where Kyler's not going to put up at least like I feel like he's a guaranteed 3 touchdowns a game, honestly. I mean, he's really hard to be able to key on when he's got the rushing ability and he's got a smell of an arm and he's got the best, highly regarded as the best receiver in football now this year. So that Cardinals offense is really hard to stop. So with that being said, the Bills are going to have to respond. And they did. Like, they were on a little drought, I won't lie, the Bills, but they had a good get-right game against Seattle. So I can see Josh Allen having another impressive outing, as I can also see Kyler having. So I think – and both teams, they're not like have a Steeler-Miami type defense. I feel they just have like a regular middle-tier defenses. So it's not like I see either one of those opposing quarterbacks struggling, you know, on offense. So I think they can both go over 30. I'll give it to the Cardinals 35-31.
Okay. Kyler Murray has 8 rushing touchdowns this year.
Right. Compared to how many did he have last year? 4?
I don't know. I don't have that number off the top of my head. But Kyler Murray has 76 carries for 543 yards and 8 touchdowns. Devin Singletary has 95 carries, 386 yards.
Oh, my gosh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, I want to know. I'll answer my own question first. I got the Bills winning this game 37-31. But my question is, Carwin, how'd you feel about Ryan Clark saying that, you know, Kyler Murray could make the Ravens a Super Bowl contender? I honestly can see where
I can, but is that's just because we're seeing what he's doing with what he has now. It's easy to say that. Like, when you really think about it, like, really, like, he has Hopkins right now. He's got Kirk. Like, the best he would have to work with on the Ravens is just Brown. And we saw Hopkins. I'm not going to say he was terrible. I mean, he was rookie of the year, but he wasn't doing what he was doing now. So Kyler would still need that number one secure target to give the ball to. I don't think he would just automatically make them a Super Bowl contender. I still think he would need the proper system around him and proper personnel. So I wouldn't just say just because he's doing what he's doing with the Cardinals, he's just going to make that happen with the Ravens. Even though Lamar's had a significant drop off, he's still making the most with what he has. I mean, they're 6-2. So, I mean, it's not like the Ravens are doing bad. They're not doing it as pretty as they were last year. But hey, at the end of the day, as long as you're getting the wins, now you shouldn't really complain. So Lamar still has room to grow. I think it's going to continue to grow. And just because Kyler is having a substantially impressive season, I wouldn't just like imagine all think about all the people that were saying, what if you put Lamar on this team, would they be Super Bowl contender, you know? So now just because he's having a down year, he's going to jump off the train. Not so fast now. He's still the reigning MVP. So I wouldn't worry about Kyler's going to make them an automatic contender. I mean, you should be worrying about other teams saying, will Lamar make you a contender? Because, I mean, no, except for Brown, like, not many of those Ravens pass catchers are going to start for the team. Like, Lamar was literally, like, doing the most with, like, non-upper echelon tier players. So, nah.
Yeah.
I don't think he would.
Sure.
So, I got the – oh, wait. Oh, no. Wait, I already did my all right, yeah. So, yeah, that's my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I was asking you.
Yeah, that's my opinion on that. I think they would – his escapability is better. I could maybe see him like getting a little more rushing yards, but I mean, I don't think their wins would be any different. I think they would probably still be 6-2.
Yeah. All right. Steelers and Bengals are playing against each other. I guess Big Ben is playing this weekend.
He's off the COVID list.
I guess so. Yeah, Mike Tomlin. Yeah, they plan on playing it. We'll see what happens. If Big Ben does play, the Steelers will win. If the Bengals win, Or if he doesn't play, the Bengals will win. It's as simple as that for me. There's no money line or spread for this game yet. I think it's because they're waiting to see what happens with Ben.
Right. Because there was one. There was one when I looked before he got COVID.
Yeah. John Ross is going to be inactive. Guy's been inactive since the second game of his sophomore season. All right, that was a little mean. I'm scared Henry Ruggs is gonna end up like John Ross.
No, I hope not. As long as they give him a fair shot, because I mean Ross had his fair shot last year when he had those like couple big games, and then I don't know what happened to him after.
Yeah. Hey guys, pick up Giovanni Bernard in your fantasy team. He's going to be starting this week. Joe Mixon's going to be out.
Which is surprising because they're just coming off of a bye week.
Yeah, I know. I guess his injury was that bad. He's in questionable like each of the three times. It's not like he was declared out, you know, before like,
the week. He hasn't even taken the practice field yet either. But
good Tyler Boyd. Having 584.
I was going to say, unpopular opinion, Bengals are going to hand them their first loss.
Yeah, I honestly don't blame you with picking that. Bengals can definitely win this game. They got the talent on that.
I mean, the fact that they struggled to lay down the Cowboys last week, did not like that. So. The fact that the Steelers struggled to lay down the Cowboys, I did not like that. So, with that being said, the Bengals, I would say, are a better team than the Cowboys. So if you had trouble with the Cowboys, you're going to have trouble with the Bengals. So, and like we just said.
And Bengals, they just beat Tennessee.
Like we just said, the Bengals' offense is good. It's better than the Cowboys' offense right now because the Cowboys lack in the quarterback play. Burrow's having a good rookie season. So, and he's got Green and T. Higgins and Boyd. So, and Bernard's a good pass catcher. So, I think, although it may be a lower scoring game just because the Steelers, how good the Steelers' defense is. So, I would say the Bengals are going to pull it off a 21-18 win.
Okay. I got if Big Ben plays, I think the Steelers will win 27-24. If Big Ben doesn't play, I'll have the Bengals winning 31-21. Okay. I'm not a believer in Mason Rudolph.
Oh, yeah.
I know Christmas time is coming, but Rudolph's not good.
Not that red-nosed reindeer. He was
Miles Garrett. Oh, yeah, we know. Nose.
That was a good thing they ain't playing them this week.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I was telling Zion, it's too bad the Bengals aren't or too bad the Steelers aren't playing the Browns this week. Mason Rudolph.
They played the Browns like 2 weeks ago, right? Two, three.
Yeah.
Why did they not play Dobbs? Was he hurt or something last year? Yeah.
Josh Dobbs? They
traded
him.
He's just back this year? Where did he get traded to last year? Oh, I don't pack. Wow. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I think either way, they would lose, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, Roethlisberger, they need him. They need him. You can see.
Yeah, they traded him, and then Dobbs got released by the Jaguars in early September, and then he got claimed by the Steelers. Yeah. So that's good to see. Maybe Josh Dobbs would be the backup. I'm not sure.
I guess they ain't got no more Ducky.
Duck Hodges. I don't think he's on that.
I remember everybody was raving about him when they made the switch, and he wasn't nothing.
Oh, no. Duck Hodges. He's still in the Pittsburgh organization. The rookie or the second year.
Yeah, as long as Roethlisberger's out there, they got a much better chance. Because you can see the improvement in the team with Roethlisberger there. Juju's having a better year. Deontay Johnson's having a better year. So. They got to keep that guy healthy.
Yeah. The San Francisco 49ers are playing the Saints. This would actually be an exciting game if the 49ers actually had their roster. Saints are winning this game. There's no Mostert. No Jimmy Garoppolo. No Debo Samuel. No Nick Bosa. Is Richard Sherman playing?
I'm not sure. I didn't check up on it.
Yeah. Saints got Michael Thomas back. Saints are a 9.5-point favorite. If the 49ers had their whole roster, the Saints would probably be like a 3-point favorite or something. But 9.5, over-under is 49. I don't think I could take that.
Oh.
This is crazy. Mostert is still the leading rusher on this
team. I know. He was just that good, man. He's just so dynamic with the ball.
He had 51 carries and 300.
How many yards of carries he averaging? Do you have that in front of you?
That's like 6 yards a carry. Good. That's like a little
it's
under
like
6 yards.
He was too
a carry.
Good, so he had to get hurt for a little bit because our teams would have been too good because he was a late round pick.
Like, Kamara has 45 more carries and 168 more yards than Mostert. Definitely could have gotten that. Yeah, because that guy was so dynamic. Because he had a bunch of big plays.
Yeah, that's what I was literally just saying. We both agree.
That's what. And then Kittle's the leading receiver. I still have him on a couple of my teams. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think he is, but hey, can't blame me for it. Hold that hope. Sorry about that. But, last year, if you remember, that game was a nail-biter. Like, remember that?
Oh, yeah, that game went to overtime, didn't
it? So. I think it came down.
I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was like 48-45, and I think Will Lutz had, like, the game-winning field goal or the Robbie
game-winning field goal. That's not how I remember. I'm talking about in the regular season last year when the Niners played the Saints later on and then Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like 35-38 or something. I don't think it went in the 40s, but nah, the Niners won that. Because remember Garoppolo on the final drive, he threw that pass to Kittle and then like went viral, and then he like kept stiff arming people.
Okay, so the 49ers won 48-46.
Dang, it did go in the 40s. Good gosh. Okay, yeah. I just remember them winning, and then Kittle made that play to get them in field goal range, and yeah, that was arguably probably the best game Garoppolo had as a Niner. So that's just going to show you how different it's going to look this year. Because you're not going to have a Garoppolo to Kittle play this year.
Or a Garoppolo
you gotta give the Niners credit for putting up a valiant effort. Shanahan's a good coach. They're making the most of what they got. They have really good backup RBs, so that's good. Jerick McKinnon is more than capable of filling in that starting role. You saw flashes from that Richie person that they played against Green Bay. He's going to be playing. Kendrick Ayuk is going to be back. Kendrick Bourne got activated off the COVID list, so they're going to have two extra pass catchers that they didn't have last week. So we'll see how that impacts them this week against the Saints. I mean, probably not enough to give them the win, but I think enough more so to make the game a little bit closer. So I think the Saints are going to win this. I'll give them say Saints win 35-20.
Okay. All right. We got a NFC West matchup, the Seahawks. Oh wait, I didn't give my score. I don't think I gave my score. I got the Saints winning. I got them winning 30-20. No, let's give them 33-20. Seahawks play the Rams. The Rams are a 2-point favorite. I don't know why. I really don't think they're better than the Seahawks. I don't. I know they're at home, but like, they haven't lost a game at home. Over/under 54.5. I don't know. I'm just not a big believer in Jared Goff. He's had 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I guess he hasn't.
Yeah, and then most of those interceptions came against Miami, probably.
Yeah. But Seahawks, they're just a much better team than me. Shaquille Griffin and Quentin Dunbar.
I'll take it over under in that game.
So you got a couple corners that are going to be out in an already bad Seattle defense. Okay. Maybe this is why Los Angeles is favored. I'm still going to give it to the Seahawks. Give me the Seahawks 30-23.
Right. 30-23. Yeah. The Rams, they haven't been able to recapture that glory that they had their Super Bowl season. Nonetheless, still a respectable, good team. Just not the best in the division anymore. I mean, the Cardinals are better.
Holy crap. I'm sorry, Carl. The Rams haven't given up more than 17 points in the last 5 weeks. Oh, no, never mind. They gave up 28 to Miami, but the previous weeks. Oh, no, they gave up 10, 24, 10, nothing. I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Carl.
What was I saying?
Sorry.
I forgot. What
did I you were talking about how, like, the Rams haven't been the same since.
Oh, yeah. They're no longer the best team in their division. They're still a good team, but I mean, I would definitely say the Cardinals are better than them now. Seahawks are better than them. They're better than the Niners, but that's about it. Seahawks, Russell is just too hard to keep from throwing touchdowns. They got Metcalf and Lockett, which may arguably be the best wide receiver duo in the league now. What do you think, Vincent? Best wide receiver duo in the league? No?
No.
Which duo is better than that?
Give me
time. I don't know. It's going to be a hard one. I think they probably got you. I mean, they both – Lockett's talking head. They can both easily go – not easily, but they both have the potential and the ceiling to hit 200 yards on any given Sunday. Like that's just how good that those two receivers have been in that Seattle offense. Metcalf has been on a torrid pace this year. He was somebody that was slept on in last year's draft. Seattle, they took a chance on him, and they groomed him, and he's turned out to be a really good valuable asset for him, and he was decent in his rookie season. Yeah. He's made an even bigger jump this season. And
you don't like Antonio Brown?
Well, we haven't seen nothing from him yet. The only thing I saw was him get blown out. Yeah. Last year it was Evans and Godwin, but I mean, look at him.
Oh, what about Calvin Ridley and Julio?
They make a good argument, but still, like when you look at the facts, Metcalf and Lockett have had a better season. But I guess if you were like a manager and you like had to like pick, I guess you would probably take those two. But nonetheless, still very they're a top three duo, say the least. And I think it's gonna be a high scoring game with the Seahawks having the worst defense in the league, as you saw. The Bills completely dismantled that defense. And like you said, the Rams haven't been allowing that many points in offense the last few weeks, but I think that's probably about to come to a halt against Russell and company. So, in golf, he should have an easier time scoring against the Seahawks because he had it rough against Miami, but he'll be able to bounce back this week against that bad Seattle secondary. And I can see both teams scoring in the 30s this week, so I'll give it to Seattle 33-30.
All right. You definitely take the over then. All right. Sunday night game, Ravens play the Patriots. You know, this game used to be much more anticipated, you know, back when Tom Brady was on this team. But now, like, it's like, oh, you know, it's just the Patriots now. Over-under is 43.5. That's, you know, that's kind of low. Lowest of the week, I think. And Calais Campbell's out. Mark Ingram's questionable. Jimmy Smith's doubtful. Damian Harris is questionable. N'Keal Harry, Lawrence Guy. A lot of questionable guys for the week, but I think the Ravens will win this game. I got the Ravens 27-20. I think they're going to let New England hang in there. I hope they don't, but I can see them letting them hang in there. I'm going to give them 27-20. All right,
that's pretty generous to give the Patriots, who barely skated out with a win against the Jets. That's what they did against the Jets. I don't know how they're going to do against the Ravens, Vincent. So they got a much better defense than the Jets do. And they don't have the offensive talent to counteract the defense either, as Newton's working with undrafted wide receivers and converted QBs to wide receivers. So he has to kind of put the team on his back to get points. And he's not as quick as he used to be, I guess, in all those hits and the age and all that is caught up to him, so he doesn't have the same speed that he used to have, but he's still mobile and can get churn some extra yards and get goal line touchdowns. But I don't think he's going to be able to beat the Ravens. And I got the Ravens winning this one 26-6.
All right. Last time Cam played us, he beat us pretty good. Team. But yeah, that was a much different team. Yeah. Minnesota is supposed to beat the Bears. Spreads -3. Over-under is 43. That over-under is 43.5. Yeah, with the Chicago Bears, you might have to take the under every time. Bears are losers of 3 in a row. Remember when we were saying they might be worse, like 5-1 team? They're starting to prove that. They lost to the Rams by 14. They lost to the Saints. It was a pretty good game. Javon Wims needs to work on his act. And then they just lost to Tennessee 24-17. But I think Minnesota, I think their offense is good, but I think they'll get stopped a little bit with Kyle Fuller and company over there. Roquan Smith's questionable. Allen Robinson questionable. David Montgomery. Irv Smith Jr. had two touchdowns last week. He's questionable. But I got Minnesota winning this game. I'm gonna say 20-17. I can see this game being under 43.5. Right,
just because the Bears got a really good defense, and the Vikings, they got. Yeah, the offense isn't good.
Their offense,
yeah, the offense
bad.
Isn't good, and the Vikings got to rely on Dalvin Cook. And if they can't, then you switch as possible, considering how good the Bears' defense is. Cousins is showing he's kind of not that capable of being able to push the ball down the field and score without the help of the running game and the play action. So they don't get Dalvin Cook going, then it's definitely going to be a low-scoring game. And the Bears, they just keep having QB troubles at this point. They might as well just look for a QB for the future coming out of the draft within these next couple of years, because it's not seeming like either one of those QBs is the answer. So, I'll give the edge to the Vikings just because they've been playing really well with the run game. And if they can establish that again, then they can do that. Probably not going to get 200 yards, but if Dalvin can at least get maybe 105, 110 yards and a touchdown, then I would consider that a pretty good achievement against that defense, and that'll help.
Considering Derrick Henry only had 68 yards against the Bears.
That'll definitely help. 110 yards, they'll take that against that defense. That'll help Cousins out. So I think the Vikings can I think they'll pull off a 21-10 win.
All right. That ends our football part of the show. I just want to say congratulations to Kim Ang. The Miami Marlins hired her. This is Major League Baseball to be the first female general manager. So, breaking gender barriers. I like to see that. Freddie Freeman won the NL MVP and Jose Abreu won the AL MVP. I know you're not really big into baseball.
Good.
I just wanted to put
definitely
that out there.
Some notable achievements.
Oh, you,
nah, he think, said something.
Did you see what DeAndre Hopkins said? He said wide receivers should get yards.
how many yards a game receivers would get? Oh my gosh, they would get like 200 yards a game.
Yeah, because like a lot of those pass interference calls can be on like 40 or 50 yard plays. I think Hopkins is just mad because he had three catches for 30 yards last week. It's all right, Hopkins. Your fantasy owner is mad too.
He's just gonna have to live with those kind of games, considering he's been pretty consistent throughout the season. So you're gonna run into one of those games once in a while.
Yeah. But then watch against the Bills, he'll have 10 catches for .140 and a touchdown or something like that. Actually, no.
Yeah, but did you
he'll
see?
He'll probably be shadowed by Tre'Davious White. He's one of two players.
No, I wasn't going to say none of that. I was just going to say, did you see Metcalf against White? He was kind of giving it to White, so I think Hopkins can.
Oh, yeah, he sure can. Remember, they, they played against each other a couple times when he was on the Texans.
Remains to be seen.
Yep. Well, Carwin, I'd like to thank you for being on the show today, as always. And I'm about to give you a quick phone call.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, appreciate it. Always nice having yes, and hearing our... looking back and hearing if our predictions were right or not. And this is good night to talk as we're nearing the midway point to the season, to where it's starting to get to that do or die for most teams to be able to make that playoff run. So yeah, good take, man.
Yeah,
welcome. And I'll talk to you in a few minutes. All right, see you guys.